So may the words of my lips and may the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord our God. Amen. Please be seated. Way back in 490 BC, the Persian Empire of Darius I was set on subjugating Greece. But when their vastly superior forces met the Athenians at Marathon, they were roundly defeated. The odds were greatly against the Athenians. The mastermind behind the Greek military tactics was a man called Miltiades, and he ensured their victory through his clever use of his limited forces. From that point on, Greece went to experience what was known as her Golden Age, spawning some of the great philosophers we remember today, as well as mathematicians and architects and writers whose influence we still feel. Socrates, Aristotle, Plato, and many more besides. And their work would not have existed, certainly would not have flourished, if the Persians had triumphed that day. Without Miltiades' successful tactics, our world might be a very different place. Today's gospel reading marks the beginning of Jesus' formal public ministry. Now is the time to gather others to be part of it, to be his disciples, to learn from him and to work with him, but primarily to learn. Most rabbis did this, building a class that would travel around with them, that would learn from them, with the intent that later they would take on the good they had learnt and share it in turn with others. This fisherman, Simon, later to become Peter, and his brother Andrew, together a few moments later with James and John. They hear and respond to Jesus' call, "Follow me and I will make you fish for people." The message they were to be involved in spreading was this: repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. It's a missionary message of the good news of forgiveness, joy, and fulfillment. Now, none of these first four disciples was important in any meaningful way or well known beyond their own community. They were very ordinary people, engaged in common work for their time and place. The call they answer is a bit of a strange one. I will make you fish for people. What could it have meant? Would any of us have responded positively to such a call? What might have put Jesus into the category of the disturbed, sometimes odd comments, shouting odd comments of people going about their ordinary business? There are two fishermen in their boat mending their nets. Come and follow me and fish for people. Perhaps they thought they were only going off for the rest of the day. If they did, I suspect they got somewhat more than they bargained for. But on their response hangs the success of Christianity. Without disciples to spread the words after Jesus had fulfilled his ultimate mission, the countless generations who had heard the news would never have known, including you and me. All those who had lived their lives with the love of Christ would never have had that opportunity. But those first four disciples answered the call, learned from Jesus, and then told others what they knew of him. And in their own halting, stumbling, sometimes wrong way, they began to change the world. But these four were insignificant fishermen, destined to remain in the obscurity of history until that day Jesus called them to change their direction. The disciples may have gained fame, even the recognition of sainthood, as Christianity became a global religion. But fame isn't the point. Since the time of Christ, countless faithful people have shared the forgiveness, joy, and fulfillment that are components of the Christian faith. Some have remained at home, Many have remained in very ordinary and unremarkable roles in life, in their work and in their being. Some have spoken only to those near to them, maybe simply their family, whilst others have travelled the world spreading this word. Some are famous, whilst most are their names are known only to those they met. The focus of mission varies from gospel proclamation to the practical approach summed up in words attributed to Francis of Assisi. Preach the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words. For us, the lesson is to be true to our calling, like those disciples, and allow God to do the rest which we are in all truth incapable of. We might seek fame and significance, but worldly fame will not do anything to advance the kingdom of heaven unless God is in the message. 500 or so years ago, St. Catherine of Siena understood God's priorities for individuals and for the world. Her message was, be who God meant you to be, and you will set the world on fire. We should neither shrink from fame nor seek it out, nor should we despise obscurity. It is God's message and kingdom that must be at the center of what we do as Christian people, and more than what we do, what we are. When we stay true to these things, we are both as important and unimportant as those first disciples who left what they knew and understood and encountered a much greater and bigger world with Christ. But let us be just as sure that we will have an effect on the course of humankind and that God's glorious light will shine through us wherever we go. Amen.